What's happening, lad? You all right?
All good, mate. All good. You?
All good, mate. All good. Hearts have got 1-1 in 5, and we're back to just 2-4, okay?
Exactly. It's just depleting. Usually, when it's a bit more depressing, we get everyone on, but I don't know what's happened this week.
Normally, you're the first to patch it. You know, when there's anything remotely negative to talk about.
Just... I can only come on with a happy clap, so it's going to be a hard podcast tonight. I don't know what to talk about.
Happy clap for the first 45 minutes, because the first 45 minutes was all right.
It was good. It was good, to be fair. It was a 20-minute spell.
Masters of our own destiny, as it stands right now. So a draw was neither worst results. But anyway, we'll talk about that in depth as we go on. We'll dive into all the Hearts headlines. Talk about since the last time we podcast, we obviously had to stop because international football is a massive pain in the arse and it derailed the podcast, but also maybe potentially the end of our season. But we'll talk about semi-final chat, ticket chat, talk about Big Hearts and Big Hearts Day, which was on Saturday, and where we stand at that. Some Saturday seen some players come back. Talk about where that leaves us for the future. We've had some signings. We've signed some decent pre-contracts. Blair Spittle and Penrice from Livingston are done and in. Kenny Vargas. His name is Vargas. Okay. We'll sing that later. He signed, which is decent. We'll talk about the potential for him. Obviously got a goal on Saturday as well. Talk about the game on Saturday. And we'll look forward to this Saturday's game against St Mirren, which again takes on the same significance as Saturday's game. It is absolutely must not lose. Kilmarnock at home to Ross County. The gap only 11 as it stands right now. 13 in front of St Mirren. So we'll talk about all of that. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Nice. First we'll say thanks to everybody so far that's bought the Icon range. We obviously launched merch last week of tops through our history that we love, the Gorgie range. We fired them out. Apologies to everybody that's attempted to buy something and struggled. We had something like 69 failed attempts on the website or whatever. We had an issue with it. We don't know what it was. It's fixed now. So any support would be great. Like I said, we don't make any profit from any of that stuff. Anything that we do make goes back into the podcast, you know, to pay for running costs. Or like, for example, we got fancy new microphones for the Henry Smith stuff and new webcams, and then everything else is either put back into Hearts. We've got a Gorgie flag, the Maris Lucas flag, etc., etc., and it'll be the same with this. So any way you could support us buying a merch would be absolutely class. Word of warning, it is about 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. They come from, they're handmade, we order them, we'll order them. The people that ordered last week, we'll put the order through tomorrow. They come direct from the manufacturers in India, so it does take a bit of time, but they're decent quality stuff. Like I said, they're not cotton t-shirts or whatever, they're proper football material tops, so they're pretty decent. Embroidered Gorgie on the front, decent. So thanks for
quality. Those pony ones behind you, they were stinking quality, weren't they?
They were stinking quality. Actually, you can, if you could zoom in the baby blue and white one, the pony's like, it only says P-O, the N and the Y have peeled off, which is fine. That won't happen with the Gorgie stuff because they're embroidered. So there we go. Good plug, Tam. Well done. Professional. Cool. Right, well, semi-final chat. Obviously, we were drawn against Rangers in the semi-final of the Scottish Cup at Hampden. Talk a bit about the 50-50 ticket split, Tam. You get any opinions on it? Do you know how it worked, or what's your thoughts?
To be honest, I'll let you go into the intricacies of how it worked, because I know you're more on top of that. You don't understand it more than I do, or you're aware of what it is. But I'm happy we've got the 50-50 split. We really need as many fans as possible to go get behind them, though, and actually buy them, because I think it would be pretty embarrassing if we pushed for that and then don't actually sell out, to be honest. And I believe what we're on about, like, is it just over 10,000 at the moment? Is that right?
It's about 14,000 tickets as it stands right now.
Cool. So,
still got 7,000 tickets. We've got a further ticket still to sell. So, if it was a plea for you to buy some of our merch, this is a plea for you now to buy tickets, because genuinely, I don't know if fans realise it's not a crossroads, right? And it's not to be dramatic, right? But unfortunately, we live in a world where Sky could say it's a 2:30 in the morning kickoff, and Rangers and Celtic fans would show up, and 40, 50,000 of them would buy tickets, right? That's just the world that we live in, right? That's the reality that we live in. You want to see, or you want Hearts to have a voice when it comes to kickoff times and travel times and taking all that stuff into consideration, and even pricing. The prices have to be agreed by all four clubs. When Celtic and Rangers are around the table, they could charge £80 a ticket and sell them. All right, when it's that simple, even if they have their core 20, 30, 40,000 fans that go, nope, I'm not being rinsed, I'm not paying that, behind them is another 40,000 fans that will come in for their opportunity to go to a game. We don't have that. We've got a core group of 15,000 fans that go home and then go as to as many away games as possible, show up for semi-finals and finals, regardless of who we're playing. If we want to be in consideration for 50-50 ticket splits, because believe me, that's what happened. Hearts have had to pay for the tickets. Aberdeen said, no, we will not sell all those tickets, so we're happy to give Celtic more than half of the stadium. Hearts said, no, we've got a big fan base. We think, rightly, we should be given the opportunity to do 50-50. The SFA, the event organiser, the Old Firm said, no, because we'd sell those tickets. That's why the club have had to pay for the tickets. So as it stands now, we sold 14,000 tickets. The SFA dictate how you sell them. We have to sell the arc. So from the halfway line round the corner flags, basically what's seen on the TV, that's got to be sold. So that's why that's sold first. The club have been, in my opinion, really sensible with the whole two tickets per account, but it looks like it's not worked. It looks like the core 15,000 fans that would have bought tickets regardless through the if it was one ticket per account through the loyalty point thresholds, they've all bought tickets anyway, which is a bit disappointing. Not disappointing, obviously, it's expensive. £30 to £35 to £40 for a ticket's expensive, right? But if you don't want that to go sky high, you want to be able to get tickets, we have to buy these tickets. We've got to. The club are looking at it as it stands right now, returning, 7,000 tickets unsold, but paying for it. And that's £250,000 if you average out the ticket price, £35, right? It's about £250,000 that Hearts have to pay out of their own money for fans that won't show. Folk, I've seen loads of folk saying lower the point threshold, etc., and loads of folk will buy them. Well, again, it's not that easy, because again, all you have to do is have a buying history of some form at Hearts, which we've done tickets for the virtual game at Cali Thistle, where people could have bought tickets for that. You could have bought cheap tickets for any of the games. You could buy tickets for the ladies' games or whatever it may be. So Celtic Rangers fans do that. Unfortunately, you just have to accept that. If the club can't go to general sale, look what happened to Aberdeen in the League Cup final this year. They immediately went to general sale for the tickets and then had to refund them all because they realised actually straight away it was all Rangers fans that were buying the tickets. So genuinely, we get about 7,000 tickets left to go. We need to sell them. We need to sell them, or we are just setting a rod for our own back, because next year and the year after and the year after and the year after, the TV sponsors, the event organisers and the Old Firm, they'll just come round and say, nah, nobody other than Celtic or Rangers get 50-50 ticket splits. Everybody else, they get 25%, 30% of the stadium, and the rest goes to the people that we know will sell tickets to. So, getting your mates that said they're no fancy in it because it's Rangers, get them there. They've got to go. Got to go to Hampden. We cannot have it how it stands right now. Plus, it's got to look ridiculously stupid because we've sold from the halfway line all the way around to the corner flag, then it's going to be a big huge gap to well past the goals, round to the corner flag. We're just going to have a big empty gap. Picture where we showed up to Hampden two seasons ago to play Hibs in the semi-final. We'll have that embarrassing gap in our end. You can't say we're the third biggest club in the country, wanting to close the gap on Celtic and Rangers, but then didn't show up in case we get beat. We've never beat Rangers at Hampden. It's probably inevitable that we will lose. But that's the whole point of being a Hearts fan. Because if we do win, just like when we showed up in 2012 thinking Celtic were going to knock us out, and we beat them and get to the cup final and gave ourselves that glorious day in May, you've got to go. You've got to go. You've got to buy your tickets. You've got to help the club. Because again, we're fan-owned. That's our money. That's your pledge to Hearts. That's your season ticket money. That's your merch money. All that stuff going there. We're just chucking it to the SFA. We've got to sell those tickets. Speaking of, Tam, you got a ticket yet?
Yep.
Yeah. I thought I was well going to get you there. Like,
no, that would have been hilarious, to be fair. Yeah. Nah, I've got all sorted. So.
But it's true, though, isn't it? If we want to be, if we want to have 50-50.
I think even if you look at it, give the best possible chance to the players. Like, yep. We want them to know that they're backed as well. And yeah, I think that alone should be enough to try and sell it. But I understand for your core of sort of not the ones that don't go every week, the ones that don't sort of have a season ticket that could maybe keep an eye on results and maybe not always go. I can understand why they wouldn't want to on this occasion, but both the players, the club, everything need them there.
Honestly, if I was the club, I would go through this 7,000 season ticket waiting list and say, didn't buy a ticket for Rosenborg, didn't buy a ticket for Pauk, didn't buy a ticket for the League Cup semi-final, hasn't bought a ticket for the Scottish Cup semi-final, didn't buy a ticket for Rangers at home, didn't buy a ticket for Celtic at home, and remove them. Take them off the list. Say, sorry, but you're clearly not interested in supporting Hearts. Take them off the list, because it's pointless. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to talk about how we've got a 7,000 person waiting list, but yet when it matters and when the team needs backing, the people that are on that waiting list don't show up and won't buy tickets. Well, don't give them the opportunity to buy a season ticket, remove them. Say, there's no waiting list anymore. You've had your chance, because it's pointless. That 7,000 is exactly how many tickets we've not sold.
Yeah. That's mad. And again, you put it like that.
You look back at, right? So, the last time we beat Celtic, they only had 600 fans inside Tynecastle. The time before that we beat them the last, they only had nobody in the stadium because of COVID, etc., etc. It makes a difference, you know, and I'm not saying it makes a difference all the time because they've beat us and so have Rangers, but it definitely, definitely helps. So we need as many fans there as we possibly can. There we go. Hearts can pay me. Hearts can pay me royalties if we manage to sell. If we manage to sell more ones, somebody can put like pure presidential music over the back of what I just said and get it trending on Twitter.
Your call to arms, like it is.
Do it for the badge. That was it. That was what it was. Do it for the badge.
That reminds me, I've not actually renewed my season ticket yet. I need to do that. To be fair.
Well, that's it. Get them off the list.
Get them off the list.
Get them off that list.
They did me a favour, to be honest. I think that'd be good.
Right, so Saturday, obviously, before we talk about the game, was Big Hearts Day. Obviously, for anybody that doesn't know, Big Hearts are Heartland and Lothian Football Club's official charity. They do unbelievable work for the club, but they also do unbelievable work in and around Gorgie and the surrounding areas, etc., etc. So once a season we have a Big Hearts Day where we celebrate all things Hearts. So the team obviously played in the 150th anniversary kit with the Big Hearts logo on the front. There was buckets everywhere for donating. There's the match worn top auction, which is going on currently as well. And then obviously we had the full stand tifo from the Gorgie Ultras. Big Hearts obviously approached us to say, do you want to do something? Can you help us? Etc. So obviously the banner was what they wanted it to say, because the football club's tagline is that we're the heart and soul of Edinburgh. So if that's the club's motto and the club's charity's responsibility is the club's community, well, the club's community is Gorgie. That's why it said the heart and soul of Gorgie for everybody that's greeting that it's supposed to be the heart and soul of Edinburgh. Everybody knows that. Use your brain. It was Big Hearts Day. That's why it was what it was. The 3,500 TIFO thing that was behind the banner on that, behind that, said, I had the QR code on it, had Big Hearts logo on it, said donate to Big Hearts, etc, etc. And I think as it stands now, they're up to about £12,000 for on the day activity, but they're still counting the buckets and stuff, and then obviously whatever money the match worn thing with. So there's a target of 30, it's pretty much almost halfway there, plus the match worn tops, which...
Go for a grand each, roughly.
Yeah, pretty much. So looks like they did the good thing, which is great. It obviously ties into our 150th episode as well, where we're going to launch a campaign to try and help and support Big Hearts. As we said before, every Wednesday, Big Hearts put on basically a community drop-in for people who have been struggling, need somewhere to go. It's called the Warm Welcome Lunch Club. You know, you get a free hot meal every Wednesday. So it's between 12 and 2 at the 1874 bar thing. So we'll launch our campaign for that along with the video. We're going to go down. We're going to volunteer on a Wednesday. We're going to help Hearts get the Big Hearts, distribute the food, get a conversation with the people that use it, what it means to them. Get a bit of their story, their backstory. Talk about the folk that volunteer, people that help, the folk that are always there helping, how much it costs, what it means to them to be a volunteer for Big Hearts. Then hopefully we're obviously going to be joined by some of the players as well to come and help, and we'll get their take on just how big and important it is that Big Hearts and the role that they play with the club and the community. So it was a good day all in, other than the scoreline on Saturday when it happened.
It was. I thought I was going to miss the TIFO because I couldn't get a car parking space, which was great. I mean, made it. It was good. And it's good to see so many. Like, I did see a lot of people putting money in. And obviously, I wasn't in the Gorgie stand, but I did see that some people had put their side of the paper up with the QR code on it. So I understand that was there.
These things happen. It would be one hell of a donation if you could have took a picture of that. Do you know what I mean? If somebody was in the Roseburn managed to zoom in and donate for that, but we always knew that.
American sniper it like that. We can,
that would be good. thanks to Hearts and everybody at Hearts as well, for not just Big Hearts, but Hearts the Football Club for letting us get trackside and helping and getting us access to Tynecastle and all that sort of stuff as well. So, and well done to the ultras too for being a part of it. And that's what the whole thing is about, is being a part of the football club. If you look at the embarrassing scenes yesterday at Almondvale, not just the Celtic fans in the home end, but the ridiculous full stand tifo celebrating the Easter uprising, etc, etc. We're ultras are a credit to the club. They will do things wrong and they don't always get everything right, but at least they didn't bring any of that shit to the table. So it was a good day.
And the sooner or later out of the league, the better, because having away teams doing TIFOs in your home ground is ridiculous.
Yeah, but then let's not get into it. When you know who runs Livingston and who's connected with Livingston, yeah, I'm surprised they didn't have the Wolf Tones or a full Irish rebel band to play for Celtic, because that's how minded they are as a football club. But let's not get into it. I hope they get what they deserve. I hope I never see Livingston ever again. And your friend, whoever he's called, yes, I am waiting till the Saturday, the 12th or 13th of April, 5 o'clock, when Hearts put the final nail in Livingston. And I will be putting up your piano song, getting it viral on Hearts Twitter. If you think that we forgot, don't you worry. I have not forgot. We will get you. Anyway, there you go. So, speaking of Livingston, Penrice, you watch a loads of Livingston. What do you make him?
Of course I do. I'm not going to lie. I know very little about him. I know what mates that I have are very... They say he's a great player, and by all accounts, I think he's matured and improved as the seasons he's been at Livingston have been going. I think it's good to have somebody who's sort of, because he was Championship with Partick first, then went to Livy. He's kind of went through the leagues, knows the Scottish game, obviously. He's not a punt. Good squad option for me. Happy with it anyway.
Yep. After Saturday, we're screaming it for a right back, but we'll come on to that when we talk about the game. He plays off the left, etc. So which kind of makes me think that Kingsley has found his new role at Hearts.
I think so, yeah.
In the back, a back three or as a centre-half. Probably more reflection on where Craig Halkett is currently and where they think Craig Halkett could be in seasons gone by, seasons coming up, etc., etc. So, yeah, pretty happy. The last guy we got from Livingston's got a run in the team and has turned into one of our best players. It's good to see us not just taking punts. I think you need a mixture of that. I think you need to take a punt every now and again, but to go through the league and take arguably some of the best players from the rest of the teams is, for me, the best way to lay the foundations and to cement yourself as the third best team. We've done the same with Motherwell. We've signed Blair Spittle.
Yep.
Which is, for me, another good option in the middle of the park. Any thoughts on Blair Spittle?
Obviously know a bit more about him. He's got played against us. He seemed to have, every time he played against Hearts, he actually had a good game as well. It always stood out for me. So it'll be interesting to see what we do. I'm happy with the signing, by the way, just to clarify that. But interesting if we're having him, Danda, and then you've got the option of Grant. I assume Fraser will not sign now, if that's free number 10. So, but I suppose he can play a bit more than just number 10 as well, Spittle, can't he? But it'll be interesting to see how they all find. We're screaming for that sort of creative pass in the number 10, and we were screaming on that on Saturday there, second half. So having players that can create, I'm happy with that, put it that way.
Yeah, I think the Hearts Standard did a good piece on Macaulay Tate for Saturday and the runs that he was making and stuff, and us choosing, and Naismith talks about it all the time, about choosing the safe options, etc., etc. So again, Barry Mackay back in the team, we'll talk about players returning. Somebody that can pick a pass but can see those runs will help, because again, you look at how Kilmarnock set up and how we toiled second half, etc., etc. You do need a player that can come in and can thread balls, can make runs, can almost grab a game by the scruff of the neck. Not a midfielder that can do that probably since Hartley, if we're being honest. And it'd be good.
Scores a few goals as well, which we'd not really got a goal scoring midfielder.
No, we don't.
So, yeah.
No, we don't. So, yeah, good options as well. And obviously, I think the one that everybody's absolutely delighted with on the score sheet again on Saturday, but Kenny Vargas is now a permanent Heart of Midlothian football player. What's your thoughts?
I know you're probably like me at this point, but Kenny Vargas is fastly becoming my favourite Hearts player at the moment, outside of Shanklin probably, but he's just if you're signing him, I think he's going to make us millions, put it that way. I don't want to put I've got a habit of making bold predictions and it ruining careers, but no, I think he will. I think it's a good bit of business getting him in a 5-year deal as well. Just, I think that gives him a bit of sort of stable. He knows where he is. He's going to be in Edinburgh for 5 years. He'll be happy at that. And I also think it protects our asset as well. If he does keep improving like he's been improving, it's good for us.
Yeah, I don't think you'll find many Hearts fans that will be upset at the news that Vargas is our player now. Again, no pre-season, living in a different country, young lad. I think he's only just learning English. You know, I don't think he's fluent in English, etc., etc. So all those things play a part. But the thing I like the most about Vargas is he never stops trying.
Yeah.
And we just spoke about it there. The second half, those points, he had a couple of shots and Shanklin was screaming at him. You know, but he was just like, I like his confidence.
Kind of smiles or laughs back at them, doesn't he? It's quite good.
Yeah, and I like that about him. I like that about him. And I think it's sensible. Forrest one side, Vargas the other. And as he gets and adapts to the Scottish game, I think he'll become more and more direct. He's already direct now, which I like about him. But we talk about the game we will on Saturday. You talk about Kennedy one side and Armstrong the other for Kilmarnock. Way the two big guys up front for them, Vassell and Watkins or whatever he's called, they were direct sending. Every single time the ball got put to Armstrong or Kennedy, they took us on.
Yeah.
And it caused us no end of problems when they clicked into gear in the second half, etc. So it's good to have players like Vargas that can be a bit more direct, etc. So yeah, I'm buzzing. Yeah, I said that when they signed. Anybody from South America signs for Hearts is my instant hero. He is my favourite player at Hearts, so I'm buzzing with that. Like, spoke about it there. A couple of players returned from injury on Saturday. We get Frankie Kent back. Barry McKay, how did you think it made a difference? Were they rusty? What was your thoughts?
I thought Kent was good. I thought he was certainly first half. I think he could have stepped out at the goal. Well, that was a combination of him and Lembakisa. But I think other than that, it was good to see him back because it's just, there's a confidence there when he plays. I never feel he's going to, you always feel he's sort of going to win the battle anyway, especially against like somebody like that, Vassell, who was just trying to rag all about. McKay, can't even recall him really doing much, to be honest, but he'll take a bit of time to get up to speed because he's been out a lot longer. But
got two different takes. I thought Kent was okay. Obviously, first game back for a while was where their neighbours up against a handful.
Yeah.
At points, I thought he dealt with Watkins and Vassell pretty well. At points, I thought Vassell and Watkins had them both on toast at the back, winning, holding them off, driving at them, etc. Especially towards the end of the first half. But again, rusty. Frankie Kent, I think, made one rash challenge and got a booking and kind of.
Slowed his
game down slightly, maybe. I think that's why we brought Rails on, etc. as well, just to try and help in that area of the park. Barry McKay, same, rusty, back. You know, he's going to take time to get back into the game, but the one thing that I would say right now is that he's going to have to change the way he plays. He can't play. He won't play for Hearts in that team playing how he played on Saturday. It's not Stephen Naismith style. It's not a dig at Barry McKay. Everybody knows he's not my favourite. He's not my favourite player when he's like Saturday, but you get the benefit of the doubt and give the opportunity to turn into a Stephen Naismith player. He's not going to play for Hearts playing that way. Drifting in and out of the game, floating about, passing backwards, he will be told to get the ball and take your man on and run into the space and all that sort of stuff. And we all know this with Barry McKay. He's undoubtedly a brilliant player. When he's on it, he's got a great touch, he's got great vision, etc., etc. And it's going to take him time to get back up to speed. So hopefully we get to see the best out of him for the end of the season because we need him. Obviously, we're now, what, seven games left of the season. So we're now at the crunch time, but we need all our big players back. So it was good to see him. It was good to see him back in the team. It was good to see Devlin back. Obviously, struggled to get into this team a wee bit, etc. But it was good to see him. Good to see him getting game time, etc.
I think there's Chad Nunahoff coming back this weekend, is that right? As well.
Yeah, I think he obviously did his interview with Rob Borthwick for Hearts TV.
Well, that was great, by the way, after your YouTube contents went really good since you called it out. So.
Mad that, isn't it? It's almost like somebody said, what are we doing? Why is there nothing on YouTube? And now there's stuff on YouTube. It's almost like someone said, why have we let Rangers put something over the Hearts badge? That's a joke. Do something about it. It's almost like someone said, you should let people buy two tickets per season ticket reference number and you'll sell out the semi-final. Well, you kind of get them all right.
Karen Corbett's got a 2 out of 3 success rate.
Karen Corbett kind of get them all right. cool. Any other headlines you want to talk about?
Is Rowles a left back now? Is that what we're saying? Because he played there for Australia and then obviously came out and played there on Saturday, so...
At points, he looked like he was playing in midfield as well. I was like, what are we doing?
Inverted fullback. Like he was.
It was weird. I don't know why we're persisting with that type of thing. We've tried to play Cochrane there. Now we've played Rills there a wee bit, etc. as well. So, a bit daft.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about the game then. Hearts won, Kilmarnock won on Saturday. Kilmarnock now going back to 2006 have got a better record than Celtic and Rangers, I believe.
Oh, really?
I think Castle. Something daft like that. I think we've won 4 matches since then. They've won 8. And we've drawn 13 or something daft. What was your thoughts then? First, seeing the team news, etc., and it and jump out to you?
Pretty happy to see Tate starting, to be fair. I feel for his development, he's been due a start, certainly. I think that was the only one that really like shocked me. We'll try to think what else we had. Nah, Kent coming back obviously was good at the time. And yeah, the front sort of picks itself for me at the moment, the front four that we had in there. So, nah, I was happy to see Tate, put it that way. I think he's been due in these games that we should realistically have Ferd wrapped up. I would like to see him get some more time because I think he's a real talent. Although he had a few moments on Saturday where probably could have done better, but then you also put in the fact that he was in so much space on multiple occasions and never got the ball to him. So, I agree.
I think Tate was absolutely fine on Saturday.
Yeah.
He was exactly what you'd expect for a young guy. He started the game blood and thunder, was fantastic, was winning tackles, was taking on his man, was doing great, and then slowly ran out of steam.
Yeah.
That's what happens, we young players when they come on. So I thought he was fine. Like you said, the cut of times he'd probably has argument to say should have been found with the ball better. But the people were in a bit on. But yeah, I thought he played well. Like you said, we're at a point now with Hearts where if we continue to be okay and get results, where I'm not saying I trust Hearts, but like I'm normally this time last season, I was waiting to 5-2 every Saturday to tear my hair out and be like, what the hell are we doing? What are we trying to do? The changes that come in make sense. You know, the shape makes sense. What we're trying to do makes sense, etc. It's just about we rotate players based on. Well, you know, I think what Devlin started at Ross County, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think we didn't have a great game, so you know, it's no surprise to see him rotated out. You know, that's the ethos of this team just now is you'll get a chance. If you don't take it, you'll be on the bench and you'll wait to get your next chance. So for example, Saturday at Kamal at St Mirren, I would be very surprised if Barry Mackay plays.
Yep.
I would probably see him. I think he'll drop out. I think maybe potential Macaulay Tate might drop out as well for someone like Devlin to come in. But
well, just Devlin didn't play Ross County, but carry on. Well, fine.
The last time Devlin played, didn't he play well?
Yeah, I thought it was that game as well, but carry on, sorry. Steamrolled it there.
Bye. So aye, no complaints. I thought the first half we played really, really well. Maybe the last 5 minutes of the first half, it got a bit scrappy, which plays this. I hate playing against Eric McInnes teams because we always seem to be caught out by exactly what we know they were going to do.
Yeah.
I think a goalkeeper was gone down with cramp after 5 minutes. Yeah, you know, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's what they do. They play for niggly fouls, they break up play, they kick the ball away, they knock the ball out for throw-ins because they know that Hearts are tempo. They play direct. Hearts like to play with tempo. They like to play the ball fast into spaces, etc., etc. And the number one way to stop that is give away niggly fouls, win niggly fouls, put the ball out, break up play, stop any team getting on the ball, take the momentum out of it. And I think there's a part of how they play, although it's not attractive, it's something that Hearts have to get better at. They get to get a bit street smarter when it comes to that. By the 70th minute, I was tearing my hair out as to why we were still going long from goal kicks to Shankland. And at points, Vargas.
Yeah.
Come on, like, play with a back four. They play with 4 centre-halves at the back, essentially. And every one of them are monsters. They were just winning the ball. Now we'll come on to the fact that Shankland needs some protection for refs because some of the points on Saturday were a joke. But Hearts have got to be cute with that. Shankland wasn't winning headers. Two wasn't getting any decisions. So why did we continue to do that? Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to change it up.
It's like we didn't expect there. So your Watkins and Vassell were pressing from the goal kick straight away. It's like we didn't expect that. You would think we would have, I don't know, midfielders would have dropped in, covered the spaces, and then done it that way. But
well, I think we tried to treat that the way we treated Motherwell with Theo Bear. Get them, allow them to come and press us, but keep them running side to side, etc., etc. The worry for me, if I was Hearts, is that they essentially played, you know, 4-2-4 or 4-4-2 at points, etc. Hibs played 4-4-2. We struggle with that. You know what I mean, when someone plays with two up front, that side to side football, counter press, trying to beat their press, etc. It's hard because there's two of them, you know, so they can close you down, and then if Armstrong or Kennedy engage as well, your press becomes free. And I think that as the game went on, Hearts really played into Kilmarnock's hands when it came to that bit. And again, it probably highlighted that they could bring on Van Veen, which was like for them. We don't have any different dimension to our game. We got no one on the bench that's slightly different. Last year we had Gino, we had Humphreys, etc., etc. This year you're looking at Oda or Tagawa or whoever, and it's, you know, if you take Shankland off or you take Astrid, you're basically essentially playing the same shape, but you're just hoping that Oda can come on and maybe get something more out of that side of the park than Vargas did, or vice versa, etc. So in that aspect, it was a bit disappointing to see us fall out of the game. But if you're looking at the positives, I thought Grant, Vargas, Forrest, Shankland, Tate in the opening exchanges were brilliant. I thought they were interlinking great. Shankland's pass, I'm not convinced that wasn't gone in.
Really? I suppose I need to look at it back, but
it was good that Vargas was the smallest guy in the park, scores a header, but it was good play for their Cochrane coming in, drifting into the midfield, cutting inside as well, which he does well. Shankland, and the thing that it gets missed sometimes with Shankland is that part of his game. He takes a bad touch, but doesn't stop.
Yeah.
He doesn't get daft either. He doesn't try to shoot or anything like that. He knows what to do. Stands it up to the back post, and Vargas is there to get, what, his sixth goal of the season?
Eight.
There we go. So, you know, if he can get to double digits, you know, you're looking at, you've replaced Ginelli's goals with Vargas. You know, Shankland obviously scores goals as well. Forrest is in the goals too, so it's decent. So I thought the first half we were pretty good.
It was that 20-minute spell where I thought we were frightening, to be honest. I thought we could have given them an absolute battering, but we just didn't really get the chances to go along with it. But
And look, Hearts have to live with the consequences of that. We've said for ages that a team's going to get battered off us. You know, it's going to click and fall into place for us one day, and we'll take 3, 4, 5 off someone. But the other thing before that is exactly what happened at Ibrox. We are also in the realms of somebody could give us a battering. Xander Clark makes a brilliant save the very last attack of the first half. They miss an absolute sitter of a header in the first half for the free kick that just goes by the post. If you watched on Sports Scene, you'd have seen I almost got hit in the balls with a header that went over because I had my head in my jacket, and Chris Wilson saved me from becoming a meme all over the internet because I was standing with my face in my jacket, so I didn't see it, and it hit me in the thigh, which was fun. But when we fell out of the game at the end of the first half, we genuinely, you know, you've got Xander Clark to thank for keeping it 1-0 at halftime. Then, Tam, I suppose the second half is when it becomes pretty disappointing, doesn't it? It was a pretty poor showing in the second half. How would you put it, didn't it?
I think you're right when you said we played into their game. It's kind of that sort of tempo and movement and passing that we've seen in that 20-minute spell I was speaking about before, and the link up between our five of the front players. It wasn't really there in the second half, and I think, did I might be wrong, but Kilmarnock had a chance quite early on, and that sort of set the tempo of the second half for me, and it just never seemed it really got out of that. I felt, as you said earlier, Shankland was completely exposed up top. He didn't really get a sniff much in the second half. I felt that had a big impact on it as well. But I think that's probably it. One thing I will call out in the second half, that sha-la-la-la-la, Heart of Melody being bit before they scored was class. But yeah.
Aye. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. That was... I blame the GU for
them scoring.
For it finishing 1-1, but I'll explain my madness in a minute. But I think Kilmarnock gave us a warning at the end of the first half, and we never seemed to react to it. I mean, they started the second half much, much brighter than we did, created chances from the start, if you know what I mean, and it was just poor. Dexter was pretty poor for the goal, if I'm being honest with you. It's a brilliant finish. Like, you can't complain about the finish. It's a great finish, but you're looking at having that much time in the box. Probably shouldn't have that much time. But again, yeah, it was just that. It was the most Kilmarnock Derek McInnes thing ever, and we seem to be shocked by it.
Yeah.
And that bugs me. We've been good at not being drawn into that stuff. It was one of the things that used to bug me so much about Robbie Nielsen and Stephen Naismith for the majority. He's been really good at seeing that and setting and doing something that breaks that part of it. But yeah, I thought it was very disappointing on Saturday. Even when they scored, they looked more likely to go win it than what we did. I didn't even think we had a chance to. It was all bits and bobs. It was half chances, if any. And if I can't even think we were in a shot on goal, when the keeper made a save.
I think it was 1-1. Very easy saves, if anything, but nothing. And not really.
And then you're looking at Xander Clark made one or two pretty decent saves to keep it how it was. So, pretty disappointing. If you looked at it from another point of view, which disappointed me on Saturday, one of the things that really frustrated me last season about Hearts was that we finished third at a canter the season prior, and all we heard was, oh, you're only third because Aberdeen and Hibs have had nightmare seasons, etc., etc. Then the next game season, we're playing in Europe. We go on a stormery run and get ourselves massively clear in third. And then the season collapses, and Aberdeen, who had an absolute horrendous season, finish third. And we get to the last game of the season to finish above Hibs by holding on for dear life for a draw. And it just opens that can of worms again. All the chat is, you're right, the only reason that we finished third was because Aberdeen and Hibs couldn't get themselves sorted. Aberdeen sorted themselves for 7 games and finished above us, etc. Saturday was an opportunity to be like, that's all we've heard this season.
Yeah.
Aberdeen are rubbish because they're in crisis. Hibs are rubbish because they're transitioning. They're going to be the best team in the world next season, etc., etc., etc. We're playing their closest rival at home on Saturday at 3 p.m. The kickoff that everybody would beg to have, etc., etc. You're looking for Hearts to go put a marker down for me. You're looking for Hearts to go out, flex our muscles a bit. Go, you win that game, we go 14 points clear with 21 left. You know, you're then going to St Mirren on Saturday saying a draw is fine, beat Levy at home, and we're third before they split and it's done and dusted, etc. And for us to be hanging on against Kilmarnock, a good team, right? There's no disrespect to Kilmarnock, but Kilmarnock 2 seasons ago were in the playoff for Gondon, you know, they beat Arbroath or whatever it was.
Aye.
Might even be last season, I can't remember. No, it was Partick and Ross County last season, wasn't it?
In the playoff. It was the season. Partick messed it up massively.
Aye. So, and I don't think many teams would have fancied Kilmarnock to be top four, pushing for third, etc. So, we had an opportunity on Saturday. And don't get me wrong, you have to go earn the right to win it. And Kilmarnock did what they did today and were well worthy of a point, etc. But It was disappointing. Hearts could have went and really laid down a marker and said, do you know what I mean, this is what we're all about, etc. But especially after losing to the second worst team in the league the week before the international break, etc. So from that aspect, I was pretty disappointed with the second half. It kind of just, the game just petered out, didn't it? It was folklore moaning because Willie Collum ended the game when we had a throw-in, but let's be honest, we weren't going to do anything with that throw-in anyway, were we?
No, you're right. You know what was good about Saturday, by the way, on the refing part? There was no VAR really intervention. So yeah. It actually made it such a better game. Not to talk about, no annoyances in that sense, I suppose, but aye. There's been a few examples of that, though. Games finishing when, like, I don't know, there is possession that you think there could be something from, but I've noticed that a lot this recently. I don't know if the rules changed slightly there, but yeah.
I don't know, they just make the rules up as they go. So that leaves us to 7 games left. We're what, 11 points in front of Kilmarnock? We're 13 points in front of St Mirren. What's your views? Are we home and hosed? We're going to stumble to the finishing line? We're going to pick up performances? How do you feel?
I think in terms of actual league position, I don't think, like, third is for me is pretty set now. But that's mainly due to the fact that when this split happens, everyone will be playing everyone. So it's not like it'll be that massive. What I would say, though, I think I would like to see us get a bit better form going into the semi-final, though. It worries me that we're not in a sort of, get a bit of momentum before that. You would want momentum going into the game. Although last time we played Rangers, we hadn't been beaten in however many games and then got hammered. that's a different story. But no, I would like to see that sort of pick up going forward. I think Saturday again is important. I think if we win that, that would realistically mean St Mirren can't catch us mathematically. Yeah. Is that right? Aye.
Yeah. Well, we'll be 16. We'll be about 18 left.
Cool. So, aye, pretty much.
Yes, they're not gonna catch us.
And then we can get Don Cowie to do us a favour on Saturday for you as well.
Yeah. But again, so I think by virtue of the fact that the games are going to run out, we'll finish third. But I don't know, the cynic in me says it's not good enough. We have to end the season with some momentum. You look at what we spoke about before. Momentum in football is massive. We talked about it when we beat Hibs in the semi-final the last time. We bounced into that game 9 unbeaten. Then that took us into the split. We beat them before the split, which condemned them to the bottom 6. Then we beat them in the semi-final, which confirmed that we'd have third in European football and the good European football. Then we bounced into the cup final, no wins in 6. And then we started the season poorly the next again bit as well. It's the same here. We've went for, what, 14, 15 unbeaten, whatever it was, in all competitions, to now we've got 1-5 in the league. We're away to St Mirren on Saturday, where we've not got a great record. We lost there earlier in the season. We lost heavily. He'd not finished 1-0. We needed a 96-minute penalty to get a 2-2 draw the last time we were there. We needed a member of Robert Snodgrass cross into the box that missed everybody and went in to make it 1-1, etc. I think the last time we won there, Ellis Sims scored the winner, etc. So they've got Ross County at Kilmarnock on Saturday. If we'd lose to St Mirren, that takes St Mirren to 10 and Kelly to 8. Do you know how many, we know what our biggest points tally is in the top 6 in the last 25 years?
Our biggest?
15 points. Do you know how many? What's our best total?
All right, out of the last game, sorry. I imagine it's probably 9. Oh, God.
I'm shaking my head for the audio.
You're shaking it? Aye, exactly. Aye. So higher or lower than 9, sorry?
5.
Great.
1 win and 2 draws is our best points total. Split. In the top 6 in the last 25 years. So that means that we would have, if it finishes how it's finishing now, we would play St Mirren at Tynecastle, Rangers at Tynecastle. would be away to Celtic, away to Kilmarnock, and away to Dundee. We should be at home to Dundee, but the way that the fixtures thing we out, the club are pretty certain if Dundee finish in the top six, then we'll get an extra away day there, because they haven't had the allocated home games, and we will have. So we'll be away to Dundee. So you're looking at, like I said, we then take it to 8, play Livingston at Tynecastle on the Saturday before the split. You're hoping that Hearts win that, you know. So even if we go into the split with 8 points in front, Kilmarnock play us, Celtic and Rangers, you're not seeing them taking 6 points out of 6 for Celtic and Rangers. So probably just by virtue of there not being enough games, I think we'll be safe. But yeah, I think if Hearts were to be taken seriously, we've got to go on a run. We've got to go on a run. You look at the games, we've been beat off Ross County, drawn at home with Kilmarnock. Again, that's the last 2 home games versus Kilmarnock, we've failed to beat them. You're now away to St Mirren and at home to Livy before the luck of the split. And again, if Hibs make the top 6, then you're looking at we'll be away to Easter Road again, etc. So, yeah. Saturday's massive. So, what sort of changes would you make for Saturday?
I think it depends who's you're talking about. A Derek McInnes team that you expect the way to play, and thus being surprised by it. It'll be the exact same as Stephen Robinson. They'll be direct pressing from the front, so and they'll be good at the bad side of the game as well. So should really be ready for that. I don't really know what that looks like in a sense, but I think probably you'll probably find changing the centre mid. I don't know if Atkinson would maybe come back in ahead of Limbikisa. To me, there's not much between them, to be honest, anyway. It doesn't really matter. And I think
what's happened to Dexter?
I know, he looked amazing when he first came in. I don't know what's going on there.
What has happened to him? He was so direct, took on his man, looked brilliant, scored headers. Now he looks an absolute shadow of a football player. Like,
scored a class goal for Jamaica as well. I don't know if you've seen that, but
yeah, I've seen the clip, but I've not watched it. International football does not count.
Fair. I don't know what's happening. It's almost like we've coached out of him.
yeah, true. Right, let's go then. Let's get your prediction. What will be the score on Saturday?
Saturday will be another 1-1.
1-1. I think we will get beat 2-1. I think we'll be very much like Ross County. We'll go 2-2 goals down, and then have to battle to try and get back into the game.
We like certainly will now, because you didn't do a 2-2, so that's it.
Well, the last time I did 2-2, we got beat. So
okay.
That breaks the cycle, doesn't it? Just like we didn't win on Saturday, because at the start of every first half and second half, Gorg Ultras sing A Football Life I Understand, but we never sung it on Saturday because everybody was too busy getting a fucking pie, so there was no one in the section when the second half started, so we never sang it until everybody showed back up, and by that point it was only 5 minutes into the second half.
Yeah.
And just to, like you said, and to sum it all up even more, all season long, 175 years in a stand, 3,500 singing by ourselves, and on Saturday, finally, hospitality decided that it was going to get wedged in and started bouncing along and singing along and all that sort of stuff. And just as that was happening and everyone was having a great time, Kilmarnock rattled one in the top bag and killed it. So that summed it all up for me on Saturday.
It's just typical. As you say, it was class.
But I've said it in the podcast community chat. Hearts are so streaky, and it bugs me. You know, we went, what, X amount unbeaten, now we've 1 win in the last 6 or 5. I can't see us snapping out of it. I hope we snap it. It would be great if we can go there, like you said, in St Mirren's hopes of it, and then it piles pressure on Kilmarnock to win every single game, because that's what they have to do to finish third. And it gets the team some confidence going into what will be the semi-final, etc. So, cool.
I was just having a wee look at, like, post years and, like, third point totals. Like, in 21, 22, when we got third, it was 61 points we were on, and we're on 56 now. So, you try that with even Aberdeen last year were 57 points and they got third. So, one more win, two more wins, something like that, and we're done.
Right, well, Joel Skid messaged me earlier to say that he's doing a piece that will come out for the Heart Standard that was looking at final points tallies. We need something like 12 points for the last 7 games, and it'll be our second best points total since we started to get 3 points for a win.
Oh, wow.
So, I can't see it.
Nah.
I can't see it. But unless we, let's say, win Saturday and beat Livy, then it means that we're home and hosed. But here's hoping hearts. Prove us wrong. Prove us wrong. Right, if there's nothing else, we will pod next Sunday after the Hearts game. All right.
Absolutely.
Cool. Right, cheers, everybody. Man. See you all later. Gorgeous.